ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter number 7, text number 15, further inquiries by Vidura. Vidura uvacha, samchinaha, samshayaha, mahyam, tava, sukta asina. Vibho ubayatra oti bhagavan manaha me sampradhavati vidura vacha sanchina samshayo mahyam tava suttasina vibho Ubayatrapi Bhagavan Mano me sampradhavati Vidura uvacha Sanchina samshayo mahyam Tava suttasina vibho Ubayatrapi Bhagavan Mano me sampradhavati Vidura uvacha Sanchina samshayo mahyam Tava suttasina vibho Ubayatrapi Bhagavan Mano me sampradhavati. Vidura vacha. Vidura said. Sanchinaha. Cut off. Sanshayaha. Doubts. Mahyam. Unto me. Tava, your Sukta Asina, by the weapon of convincing words. Vibho, O my Lord, Ubayatra Api, both in God and in the living entity. Bhagavan, O powerful one. Manaha, mind. May, my. Sampradhavati, perfectly entering. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Nidura said, O powerful sage, my Lord, all my doubts about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities have now been removed by your convincing words. My mind is now perfectly entering into them. The science of Krishna, or the science of God and the living entities, is so subtle and that even a personality like Vidura has to consult persons like the sage Maitreya. Doubts about the eternal relationship of the Lord and the living entity are created by mental speculation in different ways. But the conclusive fact is that the relationship of God and the living entity is one of the predominator and the predominated. The Lord is the eternal predominator, and the living entities are eternally predominated. Real knowledge of this relationship entails reviving the lost consciousness to this standard. And the process for such revival is devotional service to the Lord. By clearly understanding from authorities like the sage Maitreya, one can become situated in real knowledge, and the disturbed mind can thus be fixed on the progressive path. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurubhe Namaha. So one may ask, is this relevant? Very good. One may ask, is this relevant? Well, is your mind disturbed? Who, let's see a show of hands, how many of you have minds that are not disturbed, ever disturbed in any way? Is your mind completely undisturbed? Anyone else has a completely undisturbed mind? Totally, is a perfect ditta, or undisturbed person? Any of us here in that category? Completely, totally undisturbed. So, we're all disturbed. We're all disturbed people. Therefore, these instructions are especially poignant and relevant for ourselves. How we can, with our disturbed minds, become fixed on the path, the progressive path. How can we do that? So His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has so kindly enlightened us in His purport. How we disturbed minded people can become fixed on the progressive path. That method is to gain clear understanding from authorities like the sage Maitreya. You can say, well, I was born 5,000 years too late. I don't see the sage Maitreya here at Simhachala this morning, so what's my hope? Where is Maitreya Muni now? What is my hope? Well, just like we can see the television broadcast from some distant place. So we have a TV station that will enable us to completely connect with Maitreya Muni. That TV station is there. Actually, Prabhupada compared it to a radio station. In Vrindavan, Hari Viva Prabhu wrote a book about his experience with Prabhupada in Vrindavan. You may have read that book. He called Prabhupada in Vrindavan, mentioned the term Guru Parampara Radio. So just like there's some radio broadcast, and then it is transmitted from one tower, and another tower picks it up, amplifies it, and goes to another tower. So in this way, that original conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, that conversation, those sound vibrations coming from the lotus mouth of Sri Maitreya Muni, which have the full potency to take those of us who have disturbed minds, which we just realize is all of us, that conversation becomes transmitted right here, right now, through the medium of Guru Parampara. In the same way, Prabhupada said that whether you're Arjuna directly hearing Bhagavad Gita on the chariot from Krishna, or you're reading the Bhagavad Gita now, the potency is the same. You may say, how is that possible? That there could be as much potency now reading the Bhagavad Gita as if I was Arjuna on the chariot. Arjuna heard for 45 minutes and he became completely enlightened. But I've been reading it for 45 years and I'm still in Maya. So how you can say that the potency is the same? Well, the potency is the same. There's one problem though. The hearer is not of the quality of Arjuna. That's the problem. So if you did not feel this, that the potency is there in these transcendental sound vibration, if you do not feel the potency of Maitreya is fully manifest in these sound vibrations, that means there's some defect in your hearing. You understand? Yeah. There's some defect in our hearing. This verse is really, really phenomenal, actually. I've never seen a verse exactly like this. Vidura said, "O powerful sage, my lord, all my doubts about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities have now been removed by your convincing words." And this is the amazing, amazing statement. He says, "My mind is now perfectly entering into them." So, Vidura is meditating, fully absorbing his mind, so much so, in the words of Maitreya, that he says, "My mind is entering into those words." So this is called attentive hearing, actually. If we're sitting in the Bhagavatam class and our mind is looping a loop around the universe, circling around the Milky Way and then circling around the North Star, then we are not absorbed in the words of the Bhagavatam. And we will be disturbed. So the key is, if you want to come off the platform of being disturbed, you have to allow your mind, or channel your mind, to fully enter into the transcendental sound vibration. Completely absorbed in that transcendental sound vibration. This is called meditation. So Bhagavatam class is also a time of meditation. It's a time to take your mind and let it dive completely and totally and wholly into the transcendental sound vibrations. Don't let it go here and there, running here, running there, skipping like a little child, you know, up and down the meadow, chasing butterflies. Dive into that sound vibration. That old saying, "Friends, Romans, and countrymen, please lend me your ears." So, you should lend your ears and your mind to the speaker of the Bhagavatam when you sit for the class. Whoever's speaking, whether you're speaking or I'm speaking, it's the same principle. Totally absorb our mind in the transcendental sound vibration. Vidura is saying your convincing words, but you know what? If you don't absorb your mind in those convincing words, you will not be convinced. You will harbor doubts. That's a fact. You will harbor doubts if you do not allow your mind to fully enter into those convincing words. In other words, those words will not be convincing for you unless you allow your mind to totally enter into them. For a doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this life nor in the next. So one should cultivate actively pursue becoming totally convinced of the Vaishnava Siddhanta. One should actively pursue it because the doubts are there. Let's face it. So many doubts are there. Isn't it? So many doubts. So we have to understand we have a problem. We have doubts. We have a disease called doubts. So we have to intelligently go about freeing ourselves from those doubts and becoming absolutely, totally convinced of the truth of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Dharma projita kaitava tra paramo nirmatsaranam sutam vejam vastav mastu shivadam tapo trayam mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Vaiparaishvara Sadhya Hridya Rujyate Krashiti Vishu Shrishya Vishtachana. Completely kicking out, rejecting all forms of religion that are materially motivated, this Srimad Bhagavatam propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. So who can say in this room that we are not suffering the threefold misery? Ariyatmik, Aribhautik, Aridaivik. We are all suffering the threefold miseries. So if you're tired of suffering, if you're sick and tired of suffering in this material existence, then you must become convinced of the Bhagavatam. Because that conviction will allow the Bhagavatam to uproot, just like weeds in your heart, to uproot those weeds of Ariyatmik, Aribhautik, and Aridaivik miseries, and allow you to taste that nectar for which you're always hankering, that you've been hankering for millions of lifetimes. As George Harrison pointed out in his words from Apple in the Krishna book, everyone is looking for Krishna. That's a fact. Krishna, Prabhupada said, means the greatest pleasure. So who is not looking for Krishna? Everyone is looking for Krishna. But the problem is, you know, everybody's looking in the wrong places. That's the problem. Looking in the wrong places. So if you want Krishna, then you have to go to that person who has Krishna. Who is that person? Prabhupada. Prabhupada is that person who has Krishna. There was that one pastime with Sarasvati and Prabhupada. Prabhupada was keeping the little Krishna doll behind. And Sarasvati was wondering, where is Krishna? Prabhupada was increasing her feelings of separation. Her little Krishna deity or Krishna doll. She didn't know where it was, and Prabhupada was keeping it behind his back. She was going, oh, where is Krishna? Where is my Krishna? She was becoming totally disturbed. Where is my Krishna? Where is my Krishna? And they asked her, they said, Sarasvati, who has Krishna? Prabhupada. And then he gave the doll and the deity back. So as a fact, Srila Prabhupada has Krishna. And he can give us Krishna. But we have to become completely convinced of the Bhaktivedanta purports. So how do we do that? We have to hear them with full attention and allow our minds to enter into them. It is not academic. It is realization. In other words, this is beyond the intellect. It includes the intellectual platform, but at the same time, it goes beyond the intellectual platform. The intellectual platform, jnana. Krishna consciousness platform, vijnana, realization. If it were not realization, then how could you attain the highest truth simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes devotees would ask Prabhupada a question, and he would give detailed answer to that question. Also, I also one time did like that, and I got a similar answer from Prabhupada. But Prabhupada explained that if you simply chant Hare Krishna with full sincerity, then you will understand, you will reach that point where you know the answers to all the questions. You won't have to ask me, because you will personally realize the answer to all questions just by chanting in purity this Hare Krishna mantra. And the way he told me was, he said, if you simply engage in devotional service with full sincerity of attitude, uninterruptedly, then Krishna will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. That's what Prabhupada told me in one letter. So the fact is, if you're bewildered, it's your fault. You're not fully absorbed in devotional service. If your mind is bewildered, disturbed, you are not fully absorbed in devotional service. It's nothing wrong with the process. It's nothing wrong with the devotees. It's something wrong with you. That's the problem. You, you see? So we have to rectify that. We're not absorbed in devotional service. We're not allowing our minds to enter into the Shabda Brahma, Bhagavatam, the Shabda Brahma of the holy names, and the transcendental platform of devotional service. If I'm given by my spiritual master or by my superiors some service to do, instead of thinking, oh, what is this? We should just dive into the service. Absorb ourselves in the service. Why be in the mental plane thinking, why was I asked to do this? I don't want to do this. I shouldn't have to do this. That will simply keep one in an agitated state of mind. One should think, all right, Krishna has arranged me to have this service. Now let me do it with love and devotion. And if one is in this mood, you will actually experience Krishna in your service. Krishna will manifest to you out of the service that you're doing. Krishna will personally manifest. So we have to learn how to dive into the service. It's a very important thing. Not that, well, I'll only serve my spiritual master, but I won't serve anyone else. You think the spiritual master is pleased? If you only want to serve him, you don't want to serve anyone else? He's very displeased if someone is in that mood. I just want to serve you, Guru Maharaj. Nobody else. That's very disturbing to the spiritual master. He wants to see that his disciple is the servant of the servant and the servant of the servant. So that disciple who will attract the most mercy from the spiritual master is that disciple who wants to serve the servant of the spiritual master. That's what the spiritual master sees. Who is very enlightened to serve my servants? That is the disciple who becomes recognized and especially blessed by the spiritual master. Who wants to serve my servants with great love and enthusiasm? This is the meaning of allowing ourselves to enter into the service mood wholly and completely. So this is a very poignant instruction. Allowing the mind to enter into the convincing words coming from the lotus mouth of Maitreya Muni. And we can expand that into understanding that we have to allow our minds to fully enter into devotional service, which Krishna is arranging for us. Is this clear? Is this clear? We have to allow our mind to totally enter into the service that Krishna is arranging for us. That's how we'll experience Krishna. That's how we'll taste the nectar. Otherwise, guess what? We are hovering on the mental platform. Mano Rata. There's Vata Yatra, which is very nice.
And there is Manavrata, which is hell. Riding on the chariot of your mind, Manavrata. The mind is a hellish chariot to ride on. So don't ride on the chariot of your mind. Allow your mind to enter into your service. Allow your mind to enter into the transcendental convincing words of Maitreya Muni. Allow your mind to enter into the powerful convincing words emanating from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. Wake up. Wake up. Don't sleep. This is Krishna consciousness. Do it. Don't put it off. Become absorbed in devotional service now. This moment. Shinga Bhagavan ki jai. Absorb yourself now in pure devotional service and maintain that absorption at every moment. If you follow this instruction that you've just been given, I guarantee you, you will go back to home, back to God at the time of death. Absolutely guarantee it. I've told you now, become absorbed in devotional service at this very moment. Be in the mood of pure devotional service right now and maintain that mood. If you do that, you'll go back to God at for sure. So, we've been very happy to be here, be blessed by the wonderful Sangha of Lord Nrisimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and all the wonderful devotees. So, thank you very much for that. And we ask now if there's any questions.
Talking yes. About the disturbed mind.
Disturbed mind.
Yeah. So, a devotee can be disturbed about devotional service. Would that be also on the material platform?
If one is disturbed, why do I have to do this service? That is definitely material.
That is material, but if the Lord's service is not done...
Oh, if one is disturbed, the Lord is not being served very nicely. That is called transcendental disturbance. The Vaishnavas are very disturbed that the whole world is not Krishna conscious. Therefore they preach. Unless one is disturbed, you can't be a preacher. That is called transcendental disturbance. The spiritual master is very disturbed when he sees the nonsense of his disciples. Therefore he corrects them. Is it? The preacher is very disturbed to see that people are killing the cows and aborting the children. You know, they're eating all varieties of nonsense food. They're not offering their food. They're not chanting Hare Krishna. They're indulging in illicit sex. This is very disturbing for a preacher to see these things going on. Therefore, he dedicates himself to rectifying the disturbing situation.
So it is different than what is mentioned there, the disturbed mind of the devotee and the disturbed mind which is mentioned here.
There's different kinds of disturbed mind. There's a transcendental disturbed mind and the mundane disturbed mind. I remember, this is one chastisement I got from Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I remember this. Now it reminds me. There was some big marathon going. Actually, I was just visiting from another temple. I had a preaching center and I was just visiting. So I was sitting around, you know, enjoying prasadam, you know, just sitting around. There was a whole marathon going on. All the devotees on a marathon, but I was just visiting. So I was just sitting there, you know, enjoying. It was just me and Tamal Krishna. I was just sitting there enjoying prasadam and talking. And meanwhile, devotees are coming in. You know, one devotee had his, a pager, and he was being paged in a million different directions. He was trying to organize the marathon, and I was sitting there all peaceful, and all the devotees were all disturbed, trying to do this marathon. You know, it was a very intense thing. So Tamal Krishna looked at me and he said, He says, everyone else is disturbed and you are equipoised. I never forgot that. In other words, you should really be disturbed too, but you know, because you're visiting, I'll let you off the hook. So I was, the Bhagavad Gita says you shouldn't be disturbed, you should be equipoised, but now I was being chastised for being equipoised. Which I thought was a transcendental. I never forgot that. It was very poignant. Actually, we shouldn't be so transcendental that when we, and this is a disturbing thing here. The guest bathroom stinks. And it shouldn't stink. I felt so bad I had to use it yesterday, and then after I came out, some of our visitors went in there and went, oh my God. I mean, it's like those water closets in India. It stank so bad. So I'm now sharing my disturbance about the water closet downstairs. It stinks to high heaven. If one tolerates disturbing situations, I'm equipoised. It's like in Mayapur, there was some, the commode. Now the Westerners know how to use a commode. You flush it, this and that. But the Bengali villagers, they didn't know anything about that, so they were just passing stool and they weren't flushing it, and it was just like a horrible, disgusting thing. They didn't know it was the flush toilet. And Prabhupada came by and his morning walk, and he checked this thing out. What is this? And so he was very disturbed about it. And then in the Bhagavatam class, he was even mentioning in the Bhagavatam class, he was saying that if you are not disturbed by such things, then you have the same mentality. Because if there's some tamaguna going on, and you know, it's okay, all right, then you're in tamaguna. You see, if you're not disturbed by some nonsense that's going on, then you're nonsense also. You're on the same level. If you think, oh, I don't mind this stink, it's okay, then you're in that mode. You're in the mode of ignorance. So if one is actually transcendentally situated, you have to say something, you have to do something. If there's something disturbing, then you have to say something, because you can't tolerate it. You see. So that is there. A Vaishnava, Prabhupada was very disturbed to see when we did things wrong. And that's transcendental disturbance. Then he would correct us. Very disturbed. So that is, there's different types of disturbance. Of course, that was to instruct us. It's not that Prabhupada was carried away by anger. This lesson was taught in Mexico City. The devotees, and this is also very timely, no one came to Mangalarti, just like this morning. Practically no one was at Mangalarti, except the guests, the visitors, visiting devotees, and the brahmacharis were here. But maybe there was somebody in the Vajari room doing some backup service. Only the visitors were here, Mangalarti. And I was thinking, well, if we visitors aren't here, then who will be here? Just the brahmacharis. One brahmachari offering the arti, and another singing the prayers. So anyway, Prabhupada was very disturbed. He was roaring like a lion. Devotees were shaking. I'm going to be gentle on you all. But Prabhupada was roaring like a lion. The devotees were just shaking. His anger was just ripping through their hearts that they hadn't come from Mangalarti. And this just went on and on and on and on. They're just being raked over the coals by Prabhupada, his anger. Chichukananda was the president. Anyway, after the lecture was over, they walked outside. Prabhupada left the tumbrum. Chichukananda was always like Prabhupada's little puppy dog, just following him around. So outside in Mexico, there's so many nice flowers growing. It's like, you know, tropical climate. So there's some very nice, fragrant, little, beautiful flowers there outside the temple door. So Prabhupada, he picked one and handed it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is like in complete, serene, mellow mood. You know, the epitome of peacefulness. He was relishing that flower. And Chitsukananda Prabhu was amazed. Prabhupada, you were so angry, roaring like a lion. And now you're just, you know, the epitome of serenity. How is that? He was amazed to see that immediate shift of mood. Prabhupada said, actually, I'm never angry. I'm never angry with you, my beloved disciples. But I have to do like that to train you. So actually, the spiritual master, the pure devotees, they're never disturbed. But they show disturbance for training the disciple to come off that platform of nonsense. Any other questions? So come for the morning program, please. Come for Mangalarti. The Shingadev is known for being very fierce. So if you're living in this ashram, this is not a hotel. This is an ashram. That means Mangalarti. Ashram means attend Mangalarti. Questions more?
Yeah. She asked this morning already if one has doubts. Where do these doubts originate? In the soul or in the body?
In the mind. Doubts are there on the mental platform. If we analyze it, we will see that it is at a certain point in the past. Actually, it is beyond time. There was a time when there was a time when you were situated in timelessness and you were fully absorbed in Krishna Bhakti. But then you became envious of Krishna. Then why I should serve this person as the Supreme? Why not I be the Supreme? All of your doubts are stemming from that misuse of your free will. That's where your doubts are coming from. Because your doubts simply reinforce your stupid decision to try to be the Supreme. You doubt Krishna because you want to maintain your position of so-called supremacy. That's why you doubt Krishna. You're trying to maintain your false identity as the Supreme by your doubts. Questions, Mark?
You say that Prabhupada said to Chitsupananda that he's never angry. He's never angry with the disciples. So wouldn't be that cause the misuse of Prabhupada's instructing them to come to the Mangalarti in a very first, and then afterwards he says he's never angry and never disturbed. So everybody can say, oh, then
Prabhupada's not really disturbed, so we don't have to come.
Yeah, because he's not really disturbed.
Just try it and see what kind of reaction you get from Prabhupada. You think you can... Oh, Prabhupada's cool about... He's actually cool-headed, so I'm just going to be cool-headed and I'm not going to come to Mangalarti, and when he chastises me, I'll just... Since he's not really disturbed, I won't be disturbed. But also, just try it, that's all I can say. If you think you can get away with that, then try it.
You
try it. If you think you can get away with it, try it. After Prabhupada gives you the full sauce, you know, either directly, if he isn't physically here, then he'll give it in some other way through his representatives. Or through some other way, you will get it. If you think you can stand up to it, more power to you. That's all I can say. Prabhupada is still watching over this movement. It's not that he's dead and gone. You will get it. I guarantee you, if you neglect these instructions, you will get it. You will get your whiplash. You will get your chastisement. You think, well, if you want to maintain this, you know, I'm equipoised mood, I'm just going to be equipoised. Good luck.
But it says that Prabhupada...
If you show that I'm not going to be disturbed by disturbing, you're showing, Guru Maharaj, you're disturbed at me. So I'm just going to play it like a game of wits. You know, I will show that I'm more determined not to be carried away or disturbed by your chastisement than you are to correct me. Good luck. We'll see who's more powerful, the disciple or the spiritual master. The spiritual master has the full potency of Lord Srinadeva behind him. Good luck. If you think you can hold your own against the potency of Lord Srinadeva, more power to you. All I can say, because you're going to be smashed. You will be smashed. I guarantee it. And the more you try to hold up against it, the more heavy it's going to come. The heavier it will come. So you might as well just be humble and take it. From the beginning. That's a smart thing. When the chastisement comes, just immediately take it. If you try not to take it, well, I know it's, you know, the spiritual essence really isn't disturbed, so I'm not going to be disturbed either. And then it's just going to heat up more and more and more. Until finally you're going to be devastated. Better to take it when, as soon as it comes. Say, alright, I did something wrong. Even if you're not sure, give the benefit of the doubt to that person who's correcting you. That's the safest thing, because the chances are you are wrong. The chances are you are wrong. So give it the benefit of the doubt. If someone points out your fault, instead of immediately barking back at them, either overtly or covertly, sometimes someone may be instructed something and they don't openly say anything, they do it, but you can see in their body language they're very disturbed. They show by their body language. You see? So we shouldn't do that. We should bring ourselves so much under control that we won't be disturbed. Even if I'm told something I don't want to do, or I'm corrected for something I'm not really sure I did it, and we should always give our spiritual advancement the benefit of the doubt by thinking, well, if I'm being corrected for doing something wrong, the chances are I am doing something wrong. Most likely I'm doing something wrong. If I'm being pointed out by a superior Vaishnava that I'm doing something wrong, most likely it's a fact. Don't sleep over there. Sometimes I say, well, I'm not really sleeping, I'm just meditating. Well, I'm not convinced. So Just let me see that you're awake. Any more questions? Yes.
What means to pass the test of the guru?
What
the
means?
Disciple must be ready.
What means the to pass the test of the guru?
What does it mean to pass the test of the guru? Well, it depends on what the test is.
It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita.
It's stated in the Bhagavad Gita.
No explanation.
The spiritual master wants to see the disciple is sincere. The disciple genuinely wants to surrender to Krishna. That if the spiritual master thinks the disciple isn't really sincere and has some other purpose for coming, then the disciple has not passed the test. The disciple has to convince the spiritual master that, Guru Maharaj, I am totally sincere about becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. Not that I have some political agenda. I've come to you to become your disciple because I want some position. One has to, passing the test of the spiritual master means spiritual master has to see there's no ulterior motive in the heart of the disciple. The disciple simply wants to become a pure devotee and there's no other hidden motive. That's passing the test. Disciple has to show the spiritual master that he or she is completely sincere about totally surrendering thoughts, mind, thoughts, words, and actions. Completely surrendering. Questions, Mark? Yes.
But if he doesn't pass the test, if he doesn't pass the test, what's happened with the disciple?
If he doesn't pass the test, then what happens to him?
And you have to take the course over again. Now, then you have to keep. Now, if you fail an exam, then you just have to stay enrolled in the course until you can finally pass. You don't drop out if you fail. If you're determined to get your college degree and you fail a course, then you just didn't need to take it again. Keep taking it and taking it and taking it. Just like I have a disciple, there's an accounting exam in India. It's a very, if you get this, pass this exam, and you can get a very good job. It's extremely competitive, like only 0.00001% actually pass the exam. It's very difficult. You have to actually not pass. It's a matter of being in the top percentage. So he's trying again and again and again. Sooner or later he'll make it. But he's failed it quite a few times. He's failed to, you know, get high enough to get the, you know, what he needs. Desired credentials. So if you have failed in spiritual life to actually convince the spiritual master of your absolute sincerity, the Prabhupada says, he says, especially in spiritual life, failure is the pillar of success. So we have to learn how to capitalize on our failures. Even in the material world, what is that? Edison, yes. The light bulb. How many times was it? 1,000 or 10,000? He tried, I think it was either 1,000 or 10,000
times.
999 times he tried to make a light bulb continue glowing. He put different objects in there, you know, different filaments. He tried again and again and again, hundreds and hundreds of times he failed. And finally, on the thousandth time, he found something that wouldn't burn out, that would keep glowing and making a light. He invented the light bulb. So, If even in the material world someone can be that determined to be materially successful, how for a success which is only temporary, which is only fleeting, then how much we should be determined to achieve pure Krishna bhakti, you see. I may fail to please my spiritual master hundreds and hundreds of times, but that's all right. I will keep trying and I will keep trying and I will keep trying until I finally convince him that I am completely pure in my heart. I have no ulterior motive. I simply want to fully surrender to Krishna. You have to please your spiritual master. If you don't, you're nowhere. You are nowhere. Like that Beatles song, he's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. If you don't please your spiritual master, you are nowhere. Whereabouts unknown. But if you please your spiritual master by your sincerity, then you are at the lotus feet of Krishna. You're situated in the spiritual world, even while in this material body. You are situated in your eternal identity as a servant of Krishna. Prabhupada said, deathlessness begins at initiation. If you actually enter into the initiation of the proper spirit of complete surrender, then at that very moment you achieve your eternal spiritual identity. It may be covered, it may not be fully manifest yet, but you have actually reactivated your eternal spiritual identity at the time of initiation. Simply have to take it with complete sincerity. I'm giving up all my independence now. I totally belong to Guru and Krishna. I have nothing else except to please them. Questions more? Yes.
She wants to know what is behind the number 108?
Significance of 108?
Yes.
There are many significances to 108. There's 108 chief gopis. There's 108 Upanishads. And there's 108 beads on your japa mala that you chant on. 108 is a very, very auspicious number. Even it is used as a title for the guru. You can, when addressing your spiritual master in one spiritual master in an honorific way, you can also use 108 as part of his title. In Sanskrit, what is it? Ashtatara Shatta. His Divine Grace, 108 A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. 108 is so auspicious, you can use it to glorify your guru. My dear Guru Maharaj, 108. Very, very, very auspicious number. His Divine Grace, His Grace, His Divine Grace we use for Prabhupada, out of respect. Give him a special position. Well, sometimes they say, what's the rule? I forget the GBC law. But yeah, 108 you can say to you glorify your spiritual master by calling him 108. It's part of his title. 108 Sri Shiman, blah, blah, blah. Questions for him? Yes.
Krishna in Bhagavad Gita said that four types of people surrender to him. When you surrender to which group? No.
he's just asking questions, for a matter of asking questions. I don't know.
What is the question?
He said, Krishna says there are four different types of people who surrender to Krishna.
Yes.
So he's saying, which group? Who is the group?
Which group?
Who belong? Which group you belong, he says.
Me?
When he came to Krishna consciousness.
When you came to Krishna consciousness.
When I came to Krishna consciousness, what group was I in?
Yeah, inquisitive or...
Chaturvidha bhujante man janasakritin arjuna artha jigyasar arthati jnani cha bharatar shabha. Was I looking for money? Was I looking for wealth? No. Was I distressed? Yes. Was I inquisitive? Yes. Was I secret? Was I sincerely pursuing knowledge? Yes. So in my case, I hit on three out of four of them. I wasn't really after money, to be honest. I wasn't coming to God for money. The fact was that I was sincerely seeking spiritual enlightenment. I had tried so many pathways and had gotten nowhere, and finally I thought, well, Jesus was an enlightened soul, so let me study what made him enlightened so I can also become enlightened. So I was studying the Bible every morning, trying to find out what made Jesus an enlightened spiritual master, so I can also become enlightened. And one day I came across, when I was studying the Bible, I read one verse. Christ says, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." And I said, that's it. You simply have to do what God wants you to do. Forget what you want. Just do what God wants. Give up your independence. Just do what God wants, period. That's it. So that's great. But now, I have a problem. I don't know what God wants me to do. I was willing to do whatever God wants. But the problem was I didn't know what he wanted. And I was waiting for the voice from the sky. And there was no voice. What to do? At that time, I was actually a singer-songwriter. So I was doing a little free gig in front of a vegetarian co-op, you know, singing my music. And everybody was more interested in buying vegetables than they were in hearing my music, so I was a little depressed. But there was one little girl, she was listening. And she could pick up my, she's very sensitive, she could pick up I was feeling a little depressed and nobody was hearing my music except for her. And she said, "Don't worry, God can hear you." And I went, there's something divine in what she said. There's some divine message which came through the little girl's mouth. I've been wanting to know what God wants me to do, and I'm not hearing him, but he can hear me. I can't hear him, but he can hear me. So I said, very good, now I will pray. Dear God, please guide me how I can be your perfect servant. So I was praying every day. Dear God, please guide me how I can be your perfect servant. And then that knock came on the door. Mike's friend Margaret came from down the street. I was staying with Mike. And his friend Margaret came and was Hare Krishna Swami and done. So I was actually praying to the Lord to make me a pure devotee. And I didn't know how to do it. But so Krishna sent Vishnujan Maharaj to answer my prayer and teach me how to become a pure devotee. So that was actually my mode. That's really where I was at. I wanted to become a pure devotee and I needed guidance how to do it, and Krishna sent it. Any other questions? So, time has run short. Time and tide wait for no man. Even though the spiritual world is a realm of timelessness, and this material world, we're still running on the clock. So we will stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.